This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our meeting of the FIQUIZ IRT on Tuesday, the 26th of July, 2016. My name is Fabien Betremieux with the Global Domains Division of ICANN. We have with us from the IRT today Mark Anderson, Steve Metalitz, and Theo Gertz. Am I missing anyone on the call? Not hearing anyone. A few reminders before we jump into our agenda. Please make sure your line is muted when you're not speaking. The meeting is recorded and will be transcribed. For the purpose of the transcript, please don't forget to say your name when you speak. And finally, if at any time you would like to get into the queue to speak, please do so by raising your hand in the Adobe Connect room. Let's move on to the agenda for today's call. A quick update. I don't think that we're not going to spend too much time on that, but the registry RDDS consensus labeling and display policy is about to be published. I understand it should be between now and an hour from now. So you should receive those notifications soon. And obviously the policy will be added to the consensus policy page of the ICANN.org website, and that's also and the publication also is true for the operational profile, the RDAP operational profile. So that's the update there. Any question, comments? Okay, not hearing any. So we'll get to the transition from theme to theme and the discussion of the various open items. And the ones that are open in particular. Sorry, we'll get to that. Let me get back to the agenda here. But before we get there, let's just talk quickly about next steps so that we allow as much time as we have for the discussion of the open items. In terms of next steps, we still have on our radar staff in the IRT to discuss the notification of the GNSO per recommendation 3. Of the working final report. That's very signed, currently drafting, and we are waiting for that draft for a discussion within the IRT. We also have pending a discussion of a draft transition implementation plan, so that's what staff is drafting based on the discussion to date on the transition implementation path. And also, in order to allow for more time on staff part to finalize the draft, we'll propose that we resume our meetings not next week but the following week. So that's on the 12th of August, and on our weekly pace as we've been practicing over the last few months. So let me stop here, and before we get to the discussion of our various open items on the scorecard, see if anybody has any questions or comments.
Steve is typing.
Thank you, Steve. So our general target has been to start that discussion with you, the IRT, in August, so that we'd have a draft transition implementation plan ready for public comments in September. So hopefully before the next IRT meeting on the 12th, we'd be able to share our first draft with the IRT and start the discussion on it. Does that answer your question, Steve?
Yeah, I think it will be more clear when we look at the schedule slide with the announcement date and effective date.
Yeah, so Dennis, the slide that we have here is just the timeline. that's really the timeline we've been discussing for the implementation of the transition. I could have brought back our slide of the actual work to get there. But essentially, you know, our timeline is discussing the implementation plan in August and releasing it for public comments in September. Okay, if there isn't any other comments or questions, let's get to the scorecard and the remaining open items and see what progress we can make on these. Okay, so I'm showing the clean version of our scorecard, taking into account the changes per our discussion last week, in which we've closed a majority of the items, and we will only have now the remaining open remaining items that are open. So let me scroll to the first item we still have open. So that's speaking to the validation rule. So 3E actually was closed over the mailing list yesterday by Theo, so we'll just close that one. Because I understand that Theo's concerns were covered. Is that correct, Theo?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. 3F, length of fields for addresses. So Theo, if I understand correctly, you are requesting that registries consider extending address field length to 255 characters consistent with the EP, right of an EPP standard. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, let's have a conversation on that one. Mark, is that something you can address right off the bat?
Thanks, Ivan. This is Mark. I can't address that off the top of my head, I'm afraid. And on this one, I think we had an action item to discuss that within the mailing list, and maybe we dropped the ball a little bit on actually following through on that. So maybe I can just, do a suggestion here is, you know, rather than have this, remain outstanding, for between now and the next meeting, could I request, that you provide a prompt in the mailing list, to maybe remind, Theo and I that we have this item as outstanding, and we can maybe try and address this over email.
Okay, makes sense. So we'll add that to the list of items that need to be addressed over the main list, because I think last week we had mentioned that would be the case of the inter-registrar transfer issues. So we'll certainly help the main list be active on those. Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Is that the same with 3G, the following one regarding support of ID and email addresses?
Yes, same for both. I would tackle them both at the same time. Thank you.
Okay. So moving down the scorecard, items 5 and 6, so those are related to the Theo. Yes, I see you're in the queue.
Yes, thanks, Fabian. Circling back really, really quick, I also mentioned a couple other things which are more suited to have the registry make a decision on that. How are we going to have the discussion with VeriSign? I don't want to have them discussed in the IRT because I don't think they belong in the IRT. But how do we sort of get that discussion going on with VeriSign, as I mentioned a couple other things, which are not groundbreaking or anything, but it would be nice to know if we are going to have a discussion with VeriSign or are we just going to see the decision there. Thanks. Any input is welcome. Not too long, please. Thanks.
Thanks, Theo. Mark, do you have any plans or ideas that you could share? From our perspective, I believe, our involvement would be limited to sharing a draft implementation plan that includes policy language that we would then submit for public comment. So I believe we'd leave that answer for VeriSign.
Thank you, Fabian. Theo, I'm sorry, I got a little lost in there. I'm not sure which items you're referring to specifically.
well, they were related. Yes, it was mentioned to, it was specified in the email specification that certain characters are allowed within the email address, and like a couple of signs, like the plus sign, which is fairly much used by Google to tag it, but they are also symbols in it that if you use it as a registry, that our experience is that we had some issues with them. Most registries don't allow those characters, so to speak. And, well, it would be nice to know how you guys are going to get forward with it. It's actually basically outside of this discussion. There were just some pointers from our development team, well, sort of to your development team at FairySign. I'm just curious how we go about this. I mean, we can completely do this off list, by the way.
Okay, yeah, Mark again. Thanks, Theo. That got me to the right place. Yes, I did see that and look at it. I agree. This doesn't really need to be in the IRT, discussion about the policy, but I'm happy to follow up and get an answer for you on those items. So I'll do that, and I'll respond to your email. So if anybody else is following and is interested in the answer, they can see it as well.
Okay, thanks, Brooks.
Okay, thank you, Mark. So going to item 5 and 6 regarding inter-registrar transfer, in one case, we apparently still need discussion of how we would handle the creation of new contacts when the data is missing for those contacts. I'm not sure that the conversation last week was conclusive on those, and that's in the context of transfers. And item 6 is about those corner cases where when registrars losing and gaining a transfer may be at different stages of the transition. So I wonder if anybody on the call has given any thoughts or has additional input on those topics, and if not, then we'll take those to the mailing list as well. Theo?
A couple of pointers there. I didn't discuss it, so I don't have a status on that. But that is, I did think about it some more, and this is, I think, quite important. This is going to hit on a professional level very hard. And most of the cases, from my experience, when you are talking about edge, what appears to be an edge case, can have far-reaching consequences. We don't have the time to go through them all, but I think it is important, and I would suggest, well, there are not many registrars on the call, but it would be interesting to get a few of those cases on the list and see if we can go from there. I will certainly do that in the week or weeks to come, because, like I said, if it has, if it hits on an operational level, the consequences could be far-reaching. Mostly, it's stuff that you don't even realize till you're very close to implementation, and then you go like, "Okay, we made a wrong decision there." You can never rule them out, but it is definitely something you want to spend some time on. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Theo. So, certainly look forward to your discussion and hopefully input by other registrars on those topics, definitely. Anybody like to comment on those?
I just have one request. This is Dennis Chang. When you do have your email discussion, please do one topic per email so we can track them separately.
Yes, that is a good suggestion. Thanks.
Okay. So then moving on down to 7B. So 7B, that's the item related to the coordination of the 2,000 plus registrars that need to complete the migration as part of the transition of the existing registrations. We are still pending to provide some input that has been requested from us in terms of whether ICANN has identified any tools we could use to encourage registrars to not take the full 18 months to complete the transition. So that's an action on us, and which we hope to provide input with the implementation plan. Anybody has any specific input on that one?
This is Dennis Chang. I have a question about that. When we say tool, are we talking about technical tools that ICANN may have already or could develop and then provide to registry and registrar so they can use it to transfer data? Is that what we're talking about? Is that the request?
So Dennis, my understanding is a reference to any means that we'd have. But let's see if Steve would like to provide additional input, because I believe this point was coming from him in particular. So my understanding is that it was a generic reference to any sort of incentive we could provide. There wasn't a specification of technical elements.
This is Theo for the record. It totally depends how you want to get registrars, motivated is maybe not the right word, prioritize their data migration is perhaps a better word. You want to get the attention at somehow, okay, this is going on. If you do it maybe this and this and this quick within about every time limit, there is maybe some incentive to be gained there. So it's basically some brainstorming there. From my perspective, speaking as a for real-time register, we always have a very full backlog, and it's just a matter of prioritizing. And if we need to change our schedule, that's always very problematic. Though sometimes there are registries like CCTLD registries who want something done, and they have an incentive for it. And I mean, that's basically how we implemented DNSSEC. I mean, we didn't have it on our radar. There was not much demand for it from the customers, and then the Dutch registry wanted to prioritize it and wanted to get the egg or the chicken discussion out of the way, and they sort of subsidized the DNSSEC for .nl, and basically they for us they actually subsidized DNSSEC for about every registry we offer that supports it. So it got really high on our prioritization list. I mean, it went almost straight to the top four, so to speak. And that's just what we were discussing, brainstorming the last 2 weeks. I hope that gives some color to it. Thanks.
Yeah, so this is Dennis Chan. I'm trying to see if it's a policy item or it's a implementation support item after the policy is announced. So I'm trying to separate, get that clarity in my mind.
I do not have the answer there. I mean, we were looking at it. I brought it forward that how do you organize 2,000 registrars to pay attention, and that's sort of how we kicked off the discussion there. And basically nobody has a really good answer to it, though everybody sort of acknowledges that getting 2,000 registrars or more ready to migrate might be challenging. That was sort of the background of that. And like I said, nobody has an answer, and I'm not sure if it's policy or IoT. I cannot even make that distinction myself. Maybe you would have a distinction if you had a solution or an answer. Thanks.
I see. Okay. Let us think about it here, the implementation at ICANN. It's unclear to me how we would build a policy that would be in that would have incentives in it. We can certainly develop tools and vehicles to facilitate easier transfer as a ICANN, as a third party between the two entities, but our tool is really the policy announcement, right, and the policy publication. And just like we're doing today, we're making the announcement, we're sending the legal notice. I think that's our role. And so whether the 2,000 registrars adhere to that is really their business when they signed up to be a registrar. So that's sort of where I'm coming from. But let me think more deeply about this and maybe talk to some people who've used a similar incentive plan or whatnot. As far as the auction proceeds, I just want to make sure it's very clear that as how we spend the auction proceeds, there is already a working group, I believe, and it's their charter to come back with proposals. So if somebody wants to go ahead and provide input to that working group, please do so. But I don't think that ICANN staff is proper for us to be providing the how to use that auction proceeds. So I just want to make sure that the ICANN staff will not be doing that, and it's up to the IRT members or the community members to provide that feedback. Go ahead, Theo.
Completely understand and makes a lot of sense. And maybe this is something for ICANN staff, for you guys to think of. Maybe you can shoot it down already when I propose it. These PDPs, are they being translated in the six UN languages when they are sent out?
I don't know. Are you talking about the PDP? You said PDP. Are you
PDP, like this one. At some point, it's going to the registrars, and from what I usually hear.
Are you talking about the auction proceed working group, or are you talking about
No. Let me explain.
Okay.
At a certain point, this becomes a PDP, which registrars need to comply with. Usually, ICANN sends it out. Usually, it is, to my knowledge, it is only in English. I heard back from registrars that they would like a translation, that you would like the announcement in their own language, that you would like the PDP in their own language, because that usually catches their attention more. Just an idea there.
So, Theo, are you talking about the actual consensus policy that becomes a contractual requirement?
Yes.
So that page actually is translated in, I believe, at least in the six-year language and even plus a few of them. So I think that's the case right now. If you check the consensus policy page at ICANN.
Okay. Well, it was just an ID. It's already there. I didn't pay attention. Thanks.
Fabian, okay. Take it away. Next item.
Yeah, and actually we're done with our open items. You may have noticed that we've added the transition implementation path timeline to the scorecard because that reflects the discussion when we closed that on those various items. So that's just for everybody to note. And so we've covered our scorecard and agenda for the day. Unless anybody has any questions or comments that they'd like to discuss. I see that Steve may be providing some input in the chat. So I'm reading Steve's input. Is there a target date for draft letter to GNS so that VeriSign is drafting? Let me see, Mark, do you have any ETA on the draft notification to the GNSO?
This is Mark Fabian, thank you. I was hoping to have it ready for the IRT meeting 2 weeks ago, but it's going through a few more internal revisions than I expected before providing it to the IRT. So, I mean, frankly, I'm embarrassed that I don't have it ready yet. And I'll do everything I can to have it ready for the next IRT meeting on the 12th.
Thank you, Mark. Any additional questions or topics? So I think unless anyone would like to put forward a topic for discussion, related to the transition from synthetic or our next steps, maybe we can just call this meeting over and give back everyone 20 minutes of their time. Steve, I see you're typing in the chat. You seem to be agreeing to that proposition. All right, so then let's close the meeting for today. ICTO is in agreement. Thank you again for attending today. We will be in touch through the mailing list, so we'll reactivate those items that need further discussion among the IRT via mailing list, and we will send the invitation for our meeting scheduled in August. And thank you again for taking the time.
Thank you.
Have a nice end of your day.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.